Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and as always, you're invited to take control of the airwaves if you want. 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. Again, the number 603-283-6160. And on this Wednesday night live, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
Sorry, Bonnie was drinking water, so it was really bad.
I just started coughing out of nowhere.
So, in the news today, something about a judge was facing a... What was it? An ethics probe or
right.
some sort of thing like that? And people were essentially saying that she was doing some shady stuff.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about judges, especially state judges, man, some of them do some pretty shady things.
It seems to me like my gut instinct from just like reading through, skimming through this article is that it's hard to tell who's the bad guy here, but I think this lady got her nose into some stuff. She probably should have stayed out of everyone's business, and then she would have been fine.
Well, that tends to be the case with judges. Of course, I have not heard the story, so I don't really know anything about it. But I'm looking forward to it, because that sounds tremendously fascinating. And there's so many layers to it, because she ultimately resigned. Well, she resigned and then went on to kill herself.
Oh, right. Wow.
And it's like, it's unclear if that's related or if it's just like, oh, she's also going through some stuff, but it's interesting.
You'd have the burden of proof on that you'd have to rise to if you wanted to say that it was not related, that she killed herself for completely unrelated reasons. Sorry, I'm going to have to ask whoever makes that claim to substantiate it. But first, artificial intelligence. We had this story last night. I really want to talk about it because I find it such an interesting concept, right? Like, a lot of these science fiction shows, like Star Trek in particular, it paints this world where humans don't have to work. Everything humans want is just done for them by computers and replicators. So replicators are the key technology in the Star Trek series that allow human beings to not have to do anything. You tell your computer, I want X, and it just generates X for you it rearranges molecules or whatever. Not theoretically impossible, but well beyond human technological capabilities. And the rise of all of these things causes humans to not have to work. They can just do whatever they want. They can spend all their time doing nothing or painting or making music or whatever because all of their needs are taken care of, right?
And the idea they still wanted governments is so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that issue aside, I don't necessarily take issue with the world where all human need is solved by technology like this. And artificial intelligence is one way that we can get there. You know, people see the Star Trek series and they say this, oh, well, that's such a society would never work. But, I mean, yeah, it could.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, if you had that replicator technology, it would easily work. You don't have to work.
I forgot you were talking about Star Trek. Are there governments in Star Trek? I thought you were talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I don't know either.
Is the real answer to that question. Starfleet is kind. I don't know if they're a government or not. They could be a corporation.
But
for
on
all
the other planets and stuff, do they run into planets that have governments?
Oh, certainly.
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Most of the planets they encounter have governments, but those planets are generally still developing. They don't have replicator technology, so they can't. They still have people who have to work.
Oh, okay.
But I don't take issue with that. If we had that kind of technology, it's possible. And artificial intelligence sort of moves us closer to that. Artificial intelligence and 3D printers. 3D printers, obviously, is a long way from the replicators that we see in the Star Trek series. It's a long way from being able to print a car tire, which has been revealed to be possible, and, you know, telling a computer to build you a new computer. However, artificial intelligence is in the news. Now, I've got an article here about this guy who just doesn't seem to get it. I'm going to lose my job to an AI. ChatGPT does an hour of my work in seconds.
The New Mexicans.
I'm sorry?
Because you know how conservatives are always like, the Mexicans are taking our jobs.
Yeah, that's why I called this episode, you know, they took our jobs. One reporter has expressed concern about his job after an AI-powered chatbot generates an article in seconds. And, you know, I don't know what his argument here is. I'm curious to get into it because it's like, okay, first of all, what you wrote as a human being at this point in artificial intelligence technology, it should be better than whatever the AI produced.
Absolutely. And if it's not, then you should lose your job.
Exactly.
The other thing I don't understand is I think that there will always need to, not always, okay, but as it is right now, they will still need humans to do jobs to, like, edit this stuff. So your job just got easier.
That's also a really good point. And now he, instead of being a writer, he would be an editor, right? But that's the curious thing itself is the argument has always been that as technology increases, it doesn't really eliminate jobs, it creates new jobs. And, you know, I agree with that for the most part. But at a certain point, it does seem like we could reach a point in human society where all of the work could be done by robots and AI and whatever, and humans wouldn't necessarily have to do it. But the transitional period is people losing their jobs at random because an AI can do it better or a robot can do it better and faster and more efficiently. That's going to be a really bumpy period.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of already been happening with the development of technology, like factories. You know, now there isn't a guy that needs to screw the lid on the toothpaste. There's a machine that does that. Or check out people at Walmart. This has slowly been happening, but those jobs were so low level that those people will be able to move up and do something that takes more of their effort and more of their creativity, and it's not so, I don't want to say mindless, because it's not necessarily mindless, but,
right,
you know, they'll need a higher skill level to do something different.
They do, but it's important to point out that I think that when we say higher skill level and lower skill level, it's not like these people aren't going to have to go out and learn a new skill or get a college degree or pick up a trade or anything like that.
No, not necessarily.
The skill set to work in today's society is just hands down more complicated, more technical, and more skill required than a job from 100 years ago.
Well, luckily, we have the internet now.
Right.
People can go teach themselves everything they need to know about tech and get a tech job without having to go to college. Like, Chris Wade laughed at me when I first met him because I was in college. And I was like, oh, I'm doing IT stuff. And he was like, you can learn all that stuff on the internet. You should drop out of college. And I did.
Well,
I don't think every single person can do that, but
you have to be self-motivated to do that, and some people just aren't self-motivated. There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't really want to go to college. I just, like, kind of got bullied into it, so.
Ah, well, that's a different issue.
Yeah.
However, I lost my train of thought on how I was going to circle back to the point at hand, but Henry Williams, a freelance writer from London, thinks that ChatGPT, what I was going to say was that the skills required, if you took a person from 100 years ago and you just put them in today's society and said, all right, this is our easiest job, right? It doesn't get easier than this. You're a Burger King cook. They're not going to be able to do it. They don't know what the buttons do. They don't know how any of it works. And it would be a nightmare trying to train this person to even understand the digital display and how to make the microwave work or just something simple like that. We're so used to it that we don't even think of that as being a skill. But the ability to turn on a microwave and make hot food is a skill.
I mean, there's an older lady that works at the place I used to work. And all she does is cleaning, and they've tried to teach her, like, we teach you how to use the cash register, so sometimes you could take a day doing that. She cannot learn it. She cannot log in.
Yeah, that certainly is an issue. I mean, it certainly is a thing that happens. I don't know if it's really an issue. It's more like an age thing. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, she didn't grow up with it. She's not, like, a stupid person. It's just that she's like, I'd rather just, you know, clean the floors, get my money that way.
And when we say that, you know, people are going to have to learn new skills, that's what we mean. Society itself is going to create an entirely new set of skills that a person has to learn and just sort of innately learns by going through society and living one's life. I didn't have to learn how to use a computer. I just had one thrust upon me and I started using it and eventually I figured it out.
Like, I think about the fact that I was like, I don't know, 7, making emails to log into Neopets, and it's like, that's something that some older people are just like, what do you want me to do? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I can see what they're coming from. And, you know, that comes right back to the issue of someone from 100 years ago. It's so simple to us. Just so, even an easier job than being a Burger King cook, like answering phones, being at a help desk, a tech support person, that's behind a help desk. All you have to do, you don't even have to be able to speak English very well. All you have to do, you can sit in India and make $2 an hour reading a script. And just clicking whether they say yes or no. You couldn't train someone from 100 years ago to do that because they don't have any of the skills necessary in order to make it work. So, yes, we put that person out of his job because he assembled stuff on some production line and now a robot does that. But we lifted up all of society and created entirely new sets of skills for people to learn. These things happen slowly. It's not like everyone is going to wake up one day and there's this new robot. Now no one has to work and everyone's out of a job and everyone's going to starve to death or whatever. These things are slow and there are new skills that we are constantly learning, constantly developing, and constantly mastering and going on to use in our, quote, jobs. Something like a fry cook didn't even exist as a job. Well, I'm sure it did, but not in the capacity it does today because most people cook their own food at home, right? So Henry Williams is a freelance writer from London, and he thinks that ChatGPT, which I've tried to use, but it's backlogged, apparently. I didn't make the window to sign into it. Do you have to create an account to use this thing? I'm curious.
Yeah.
You do?
Okay. I did.
I was curious how it knew that I didn't have an account, because there was never any sign-up option or anything. I just went to it, and it was like, oh, we're full right now. I was like, well, how do you?
Wow. I didn't even realize I was, like, making a window or anything. I just signed up and started using it.
Yeah, I thought it would be, you know, relatively, but it makes sense. You know, all of the demand for ChatGPT right now is really popular. People are loving it. And I would like to be able to try it out. I've used a lot of these chatbots, but again, ChatGPT isn't really a chatbot. It's more like a writing generator. And for those who don't understand the difference, a chatbot will converse with you. ChatGPT, it will converse with you, but that's not really what it's for. It's for, like, generating articles and scripts and plays and whatever else you want to generate. One journalist, developed by tech company OpenAI, and there's nothing open about OpenAI. ChatGPT can complete many tasks in seconds, including writing essays, poems, and even complex code. And this is why it's being banned. I think the state of New York banned ChatGPT from its school systems because they're like, well, a student can go here and say, you know, generate me an article about, you know, about the industrial era, and it'll do it.
But they have technology that they use to screen for plagiarism and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't get why they couldn't have used a similar thing to see if kids are using ChatGPT.
But they've banned it and told students they can't use it.
To do their assignments, obviously.
But see, that's stupid. That's absurd. If the assignment can be done by a chatbot, then drop the assignment. It's not a skill a human needs.
When I took accounting,
I don't agree with that.
When I took accounting in high school, I really liked it because I when I first heard about it, I thought it was gonna be a lot of math, but it was like. There's math, but our teacher was like, use a calculator. You're never going to get hired as an accountant, and they're going to want you doing math on scrap sheets of paper. So, like,
and that's kind of my point here, where, like, just because a calculator can do math for you doesn't mean you don't need to know how to do math. You know, it's still important to know, like, 2 + 2. You know how much math a day at my job I have to do in my head? If I used a calculator, I would be so slow.
Well, definitely the building blocks should be there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there's a middle ground here. Well, you do need to have the building blocks. It's not necessary to be able to do like 256 plus 140 in your head. 396, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you probably should be able to do that, but
I can't do that fast.
Yeah,
like,
see, not everyone
couldn't.
When I stop at a gas station, I go in and I get like a drink or whatever, and I say, give me the rest of 20 on, you know, pump 7 or whatever. I have seen cashiers just freeze in terror they have to figure out what to give me in gas. And it's like, I can look at it and say, oh, it's 277. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then give me 1723 in gas.
That used to be me until I worked at the last convenience store I worked at. I mean, I didn't have to do it in gas. But anyways, they just told me to use a calculator. So I would just sit there and use a calculator. And I knew
it's
probably,
double check, yeah. It's
probably driving people crazy that I was using a calculator, but it would take longer for me to do it in my head. It's like, I'm not stupid. I could do it. It's just that it doesn't happen fast. It's
not everyone can even do it. When some people, when we do this, they treat it like it's a superpower, and they're like, oh, wow, I could never do that. It's like, dude, it's arithmetic. I learned this in the second grade, or maybe even the first. There's nothing complicated about this. It's taking two numbers and adding them together.
But there's something like innate that some people have with either doing it fast or not. And, like, it's like my dad can do that. He can do fractions and stuff like that. And I can't do that in my head basically at all, but I definitely can't do it fast. But he's not good at, like, English. And then my mom is horrible at math, but great at, like, English. And neither one of them are dumb. They could figure it out because we have the internet and stuff. But, you know.
I'm just not sure that it's doing the world any good for a person to be able to, I mean, basic arithmetic, that may be too simple. That's like being able to write a sentence. Yes, a high school student, even after the existence of ChatGPT, needs to be able to write a complete sentence. And they probably need to be able to write a complete paragraph. I don't know if they need the ability to write an essay or not. If it can be done, if every essay they'll ever need to write can be done by this AI, I don't know that I agree they need to have the ability to do it.
So I really don't like humans relying on technology so much. I think it's really important for people to be able to do most of these things.
I agree. I actually agree with that entirely. That's why none of this smart nonsense is anywhere in my house.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is just like, I don't think that everyone needs to be able to do everything. If a kid tried out math and it's just like, no, I hate this, I don't want to be doing this, they should be able to literally not know anything about math and just use calculators and stuff.
I agree with that, yeah.
But
I don't, because no one likes math at first,
well,
right?
I'm not, okay, maybe not like none of it. Like, they should still have the building blocks that help them through society. I'm just saying they don't need to take calculus and even geometry and algebra if that they're just like sure that they don't want to do that. And I mean, when you get older, you can still learn it if you want to.
You can, but I don't know, man. I hated math. And I didn't love math until I took college-level calculus. And that was the point that I fell in love with math, and I realized how really elegant mathematics is, especially calculus and trigonometry, right? It's super nerdy, right?
Well, no, I was going to say, that's the point when I started to hate math, is when I took calculus.
Man, that was when I fell in love with it, because it's just the elegance.
But just because
that was
they
when
might
I decided
like it doesn't make me think that we should make everyone learn them. Like, he could be spending all his time on, or more of his time on the stuff he really likes and is really good at and wants to do for a living instead of math. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just don't think everyone needs to learn the same thing.
And I think as far as education for children goes, I think it is important to let kids guide their own education. So if you have, like, a four-year-old who's super into math, but he doesn't want to learn how to read, let him run with the math, and eventually he will get to a point in his math education where he's going to need to start to learn how to read. Things kind of just balance out like that. Maybe he won't be an author, you know, or maybe the kid that hates doing math, you know, they won't be a mathematician or an accountant, but I do think that kids eventually will round out to be able to do things good enough. And I do agree with you, Bonnie. Not everyone needs to be an expert in everything or even necessarily well-rounded in everything. I think things balance out enough for people to be able to do what they need to be able to do.
I don't know where I fall on the issue. Certainly, you don't need to be an expert in everything. I mean, that goes without saying. But there are many skills in which one needs a basic level of competence, I think. And as long as they have that competence, I don't care beyond that. And that competence is simple things. I'm setting a really low bar here of being able to write a complete sentence. Being able to add 2 4-digit numbers together. And that's not overly complicated. And I don't care if you need to take out a pencil and a sheet of paper to do it, but I think it's important that a person be able to add 2 4-digit numbers together. And maybe even subtract and multiply and divide 4-digit numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
But beyond that, I don't know that it's never done me any good to know college-level calculus or trigonometry or even be able to calculate the radius or the area of a circle. Never been any use to me whatsoever. So it's probably not helpful to teach people that unless they're super into it.
But, or it's good, like, you know, they're going to be an architect or whatever.
Well, see, that was how I ended up taking calculus. I hated math, right? But I was majoring in physics, and There's a lot of math in physics. A lot. It's like 98% calculus, and the rest is thinking about calculus. And but so there was a reason why I ended up switching to something else. But I hated every step that led up to it, and I would never have exposed myself to the subject voluntarily if it wasn't like tied to something else that I did want to learn. Like, I wanted to learn physics and I wanted to master physics, and that required mastering the calculus. But the calculus I hated, if that makes any sense. I would never have been like, yes, I want to take college calculus, right? So that's one of the skills that I think.
But I think there's plenty of things I haven't tried that I would like if I tried. Like today, Nikki's fiance showed me how to drive stick, and it's like I never really felt like I wanted to, but it's actually really fun. Like, I felt like my little avatar body was like, yay, a new thing, you know?
It's also a useful skill to have. Speaking of
true.
Useful skills, I mean, you mentioned that now, I mean, you can't just drive off casually, but if there's an emergency, you could.
And, I know how it works.
Yeah, and you were the only person here. You could drive the vehicle in order to handle that emergency.
Right.
And not everyone could. Other people would. One of our employees, someone was going to borrow one of my cars from me, and I asked him, can you drive a stick shift? And he's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, okay, good, because my Eclipse isn't automatic, but I don't loan out my Eclipse. So he came to my house, and he gets in, and he's like, I don't know, nothing's happening when I turn the key. It's not cranking. I was like,
the clutch.
Yeah, I'm like, are you holding the clutch down? He's like, which one's the clutch?
I just don't understand why he would tell you he knew how to do it.
Because he thought that he did. You know, it was classic Dunning-Kruger, where he thought that driving a manual or driving a stick shift, you know how some of these cars, they have the automatic thing, but you can switch it over to the right and plus.
Yeah,
and
no, that's
and
different. No.
My Eclipse has that, and I, as someone who can drive a stick, I hate that crap.
Maybe he
what
just
is the point?
That's totally different. That's not the
that's
same
what,
at all.
That's what he thought driving a stick was.
Maybe
though.
He just thought because it had the Prindle at all.
Oh, it could
have
been that
was a stick.
Man, the stick. You can put it into drive, right? Yeah. But it's just Dunning-Kruger. He had no idea what was actually involved in it. And because of that, he didn't get to work that night, because it's just absolutely insane that someone could reach adulthood and not know how to drive a stick, I guess.
I don't think that's insane, but I do think that people should learn how to. Yeah.
But then again, I mean, manual technology is kind of obsolete at this point. Mm-hmm. We don't really need it.
I have to go out of my way to find cars that are manual to buy.
You only buy manuals?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a choice, right?
Yeah.
I don't mind automatics. I do prefer a manual, though. Like, I have more fun driving a manual. It's more engaging. It requires me to pay more attention. I suspect, never having looked at any numbers on the subject, I suspect that people who drive manuals are less likely to be in an accident than people who drive automatics.
Why is that? Because I feel like I was just way more distracted. It was really fun, but, like, I went in front of the Hannaford and, you know, had to stop for all the passengers, and I was, like, there's a lot to be thinking of if I had my dog in the back jumping around and talking to somebody.
Well, eventually it becomes, like, second nature.
That's probably what it is.
But it's a level of second nature that requires more thought and more focus than just putting it in drive. Maybe I'm wrong. 603-283-6160. You can weigh in. Can you drive a stick shift? It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News update. The suspect in the Half Moon Bay mass shooting having his arraignment postponed until next month. A California judge approved a defense attorney's request to move today's scheduled hearing to February 16th. A federal prosecutor is promising an in-depth investigation into the death of Tyree Nichols. The 29-year-old black man died earlier this month after Memphis police pulled him over in a traffic stop.
Our federal investigation may take some time. These things often do. But we will be diligent and we will make decisions based on the facts and the law.
U.S. Attorney Kevin Ritz said his team includes experienced people from the FBI, along with state and local officials. The five black officers were fired. Former President Donald Trump's Facebook and Instagram are being reinstated. Meta, the owner of both social media sites, announced today that Trump's accounts will be made active again in the coming weeks. John Schaefer, USA News.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
The Holy Spirit is the tortilla. It would turn out 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us at 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Bonnie.
And for those who weren't listening last night, we ended up having quite a conversation about Christianity and religion in general, and especially the subject of the Trinity. And I ended up going home last night, and I mentioned on Facebook that we took calls on the subject all night long. It was a rare episode where we just had the one topic that we talked about all night. And I pointed out that despite many people calling in and attempting to explain the Trinity to us, what happened more often than not was that people just revealed that they had never given the subject any thought whatsoever. It was just one of those things they knew, they were sure they could explain it. But as soon as they started talking, they lost it all. And they were like, well, one guy was like, well, it's the definition of words and changes. And it was completely bizarre.
You see, it's just a burrito.
Right. And the very first comment I got was from a libertarian. He may or may not be listening to the show. I don't know if he listens to the show or not. I'm assuming not, because he didn't call last night. But the very first comment was, well, a friend of mine once said to me, how can you have rice and beans and a tortilla and it still be a burrito, but you still have rice and beans and a tortilla? And damn. That pretty much sums up the idea of the Trinity. That explains it in a way that is neat and concise and sensible, but there's something about it that doesn't fit. And I I don't care enough to put enough brain cells into figuring out why it doesn't work.
Maybe
as an analogy.
They talk to each other. Like, they're not one body, soul, and spirit necessarily if they all talk to each other. Because, like, one, if you believe that humans are bodies, souls, and spirits, well, our body doesn't talk to our soul and talk to our spirit like we're all three people. Like, in Genesis, they talk to each other. That's what's strange about it to me. How is it? I don't think it could be a bean cheese tortilla or whatever.
Well, the bean could talk to the cheese and could talk to the tortilla, right? They could all talk to each other, and together,
kind of mingling, right?
But yeah. I was using it more like, if that's the analogy for, oh, it's all one person with three different elements. What's weird to me is, I don't understand how it's three different elements, but they can all separate and talk to each other. Because, like, your soul, I guess your soul could leave your body. I thought of that because,
well, the idea,
Jesus, say Jesus is the soul, I don't know, he left the gods and came here. But I guess your soul could leave the body and astral project.
Well, besides that, the idea is that you still have the beans. I mean, they are inside the tortilla, they are inside the burrito, but you still have the beans. They are still there, and they are still beans.
Yeah, you can open it up and dump it out, and it's they're beans.
Yeah, but it would not still be a burrito. If you remove the beans.
I guess I don't know enough about the Holy Trinity to know why
this even matters. Well, because the reason I brought it up was because there's Christians argue that God is his own son. And
so that's what this is about?
That's ultimately what this is about.
No, that doesn't even make sense.
I know it doesn't make sense, but I...
Do I really think that?
Yeah, Jesus is the son of God and Jesus is God. I didn't know they thought that. They absolutely, every Christian out there believes it.
I think that they haven't thought that much about it because there's obviously some kind of history that isn't in the Bible. Because if God is, I could see it being a possibility, but it's just that we don't have the information. Like, if God existed and then Jesus existed after, because it doesn't say that Jesus has always existed, I don't think. I think it just says God has always existed. That would make him his son.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was forever or whatever.
It was with God.
Jesus was the Word. It suggests that Jesus did exist eternally.
It doesn't say Jesus, because it's Genesis.
No, but Jesus does say, I am the Word at one point. And then they go on in a different book to say that... I mean, none of this is clear and explicit, right?
But
that's the beginning of Earth. That's what I'm saying. That's the beginning of Earth. That doesn't mean that's the beginning of God. So lots of history could have happened before Earth was created in the Bible.
Well, if you ask a Christian, they'll say God had no beginning. God has always existed.
Yeah, but would Jesus have a beginning? That's what I'm saying.
Jesus could have a beginning. No, because Jesus is God. They are inseparable, according to the Christian.
I don't think it says that necessarily.
Well, it doesn't say anything about hell, but that doesn't stop Christians from believing in hell, right? What the Bible actually says is irrelevant to most of their beliefs.
I mean, and a lot of this doesn't make sense. You know, a lot of the stories in the Bible, it's like, okay, well, that's impossible. That's impossible. That's impossible.
Yeah, let's talk about God having a son without, you know, Jesus having a mother in the first place. He needed a woman to be born.
Yeah, that's impossible.
And that's the thing about the Trinity that makes the least sense to me is that there's no female in it. Because in all the cultures before Christianity, like Egyptian, there was always Trinity, but it wasn't, they were three different beings. They weren't one. But there was always, like, a holy trinity. There's always a man, a woman, and a son. And that makes sense to me. But it doesn't make sense to me to be, like, a spirit, another spirit that is more male, and then a son. You know, I think that they purposely took the woman away for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, the patriarchy, you know what I mean?
But the reason I bring it up is because we have Major Payne on the line from Michigan, and he says he can clarify some of this. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, in Catholicism, they didn't take the woman away because Mary is held in very high regard.
Well, that's not part of the Trinity. She's the fourth.
Yeah, exactly. But you guys want to touch on the Trinity. And
is she considered God, or is she a lesser being?
She's just a human.
She is the intercessory between us and them. She's a mother. She's kind-hearted. She has feelings. And what the mother asks, the son will do. And what the son asks the father will do. It's kind of like a respectful family.
Okay? So Christianity, Catholicism sort of...
I don't want to get into Mary. I want to get into the Trinity here.
Well, yeah, okay, but you brought her up. And I'm curious about it because I don't know much about Catholicism.
I was saying that women were disregarded. And that's BS right there. But the Trinity, there is a small spark of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that exists in us all. And I'll ask you guys a question. Have you ever had that gut feeling where you knew something was wrong or the hair stood up on the back of your neck and you couldn't explain it? But that damn feeling was right. And if you hadn't run, you'd be in deep duty.
Yeah, your intuition.
Yeah, my soul and my true self and my, you know, intuition also. And energy
that's
field.
The Holy Spirit, that's the Son and the Father.
But you can just say that. It doesn't make it true.
The Holy Spirit lives in your gut. Listen, it took me 30 years to figure out what they meant by reading between the lines.
What is the Holy Spirit?
I'm giving you 30 more years of my aspects of this right now.
Sure.
If you'll bear with me and listen.
I'm trying to. What is the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit lives in your gut. He's the one that makes you feel the primordial.
But what is he?
The Son, he lives in your heart, and he makes you feel love. And the Godhead lives between your ears. And when the hair stands up on the back of your neck, that's all three of them talking at once.
Okay, but what is the Holy Spirit?
He is your channel between the natural and the universal. That's okay. About as best as I can explain it, hon.
I don't fully understand the concept of the Holy Spirit, so... I understand the concept of a father and a son and all of that, but then they say the Holy Spirit, and Christians don't offer any sort of explanation about what this entity is. I mean, you mentioned that it's my connection. Does it have an existence independent of me? If there were no humans, no people in the universe, would the Holy Spirit still exist?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you'd be better off to understand it as your own angel. The little bit connecting you to this earth and to the universe.
I mean, we can say that, sure, but there's nothing but speculation and the assertion that such an entity exists.
Honey, our whole lives are stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to convince you that there isn't a God. I'm just saying, you saying that doesn't make it so, right?
Well, what a skyscraper you can see and exist, right?
Yeah, generally.
Okay, that's just one story, built on another story, built on another story, built on another story, as are we.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a different kind of story, right? I mean,
well,
the stories, the mythologies and stuff like that are different.
I just can't imagine that a God that is everything there that ever was, and nothing would exist without his thought form creating it first, would be able to be so summed up. Like, I just can't think of... I have more respect for God than Christians. That's what all I have to say about it. It's just like, God isn't somebody who talked to Moses and told us not to do and to do certain things. I think that God is so much more powerful and amazing than that, and I don't even think... I just think that it's like, honestly, like, literally, it makes me a little, like, sad for people. Like, I'm not trying to change your mind. But you're telling me what is, and I guess it makes me annoyed because you can't tell me what is. You can tell me what you believe without
right.
me getting annoyed.
I understand your feeling about God, and I actually do agree with you, but you got to look at the, let's say, 100 cooks. They all want to change the recipe just a little bit. Just like telling a story around a campfire. After it gets whispered into the third ear, it's already changed.
Yes, but see, the issue with a lot of religious people, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but the issue with a lot of religious people is that they say, this is the recipe, all of your other recipes are wrong. This is the recipe, I say so, and I'm right because the recipe says so.
And then they start wars over it.
You can see that aside, you can see the recipe right here. I'm clearly right because the recipe says so. But that doesn't make it right.
That all goes back to the popes during the Dark Ages and whatnot. And, you know, there was a lot of books that were left out that probably should have been put in. And there was, I mean, it was all, they tried, as all politicians do, the church at that time was the political head.
Right. I understand all of that. I'm just coming back to Bonnie's point. Which is essential that you can say a thing, you can tell us what you believe, but you can't tell us what is. That's all I was getting at. Like, you can tell me your recipe all you want, but that doesn't convince me that your recipe is right.
We're right back to the 100 cooks. Who knows what's right?
Right. And not many, thank you so much for the call tonight, Major. I mean, not a lot of Christians are willing to extend even that olive branch. I mean, they have an entire afterlife set up for people who don't believe exactly how they believe. And I think that's the most tragic part of Christianity.
Absolutely. And I think that is very much intentional because it's hell is not mentioned in the Bible. It's kind of thing, it's something that humans just made up to scare people into guilt people into believing in their religion. Because for some reason, in all of history before Christianity, it was cool for people to have other religions. As far as I know it, maybe I don't know enough about history, but it pretty much seemed like people just had their own religions, their own whatever, and it was cool. But for some reason, when Christianity and Catholicism came around, they felt the need to force their religion on every single people that they conquered, and they just needed every single person in the entire world to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Whereas before, there were, you know, so many different religions and so many different belief systems, and people seemed to just, like, that was just fine.
I don't know. There was definitely other religions that conquered others. Like, Zoroastrianism was, like, the Persian religion, and that's what everybody believed in. And then whenever Muhammad had his dream and stuff, and people, or I don't know why I said dream, vision, whatever, and people started becoming Muslims, they tore that, like, they said, you're not allowed to be Zoroastrianism anymore. We conquered this area. Not saying Muhammad himself. I don't know who, but you have to be a Muslim.
I suspect there are stories like that in all religions, even Buddhism and Hinduism. Yeah, it's a matter of control, right? Anytime one of these systems starts being built and it starts gaining traction, some immoral person goes, I can use this to control other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start, you know, chopping heads off and persecuting people and all of those horrible things. But Bonnie, you mentioned how Christians don't seem to have much respect for their God. And that's a beautiful way of putting it. I absolutely love that. And it's the way that God is described by Christians in the Bible, what a sad, pathetic creature that God is. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. The creator of the universe is jealous.
Doesn't add up.
And, like, the way it was always explained to me was, like, it's not jealous like me and you feel. It's just that he deserves respect. But I think that, I just think of the creator of the universe as being like, ha, that thing down there doesn't respect me. They'll figure it out. They're in the system that's set up for them to, you know, figure it out. You know, something like that. More than, like, sitting around being all like, you need to believe in me. I just don't understand that. And it's not just the Old Testament stuff. It's like, Jesus, he never claimed to be a God. He claimed to be the Son of God and stuff like that. He also said the kingdom of God is within you to everyone listening to him. And I think his main message is really missed. I think that he was trying to tell people. He literally referenced a Old Testament, like, psalm, I think, that says, don't you know that ye are gods? And I just think that Jesus is trying to get away a different message out, and people just basically watered it down to, oh, he's God, and...
Well, I certainly think that Jesus is more positive than what the average Christian actually says and does and believes. But there's a huge disconnect between the God Yahweh and Jesus himself. But let's keep going with the phones. We have Joe on the line from Maryland. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, hi, Aria. Hi, Bonnie, and hi, Nikki.
Hi.
What's on your mind tonight?
Okay. Well, let me tell you why I believe in God. In 2006, in September, I went to something called the Red Rose Gathering. And I went to an Indian reservation. And they were talking about the road to God and everything like that. Well, they had a Reiki healer, and I was outside. It was pretty warm, and the Reiki healer had the hands over me and stuff like that, and she was moving the hands. Well, I felt the warmth of the sun in my face, and I went into a trance, and I had a vision. And the vision was, I'm in a clear room, and it expanded for eternity, and there was nothing. I saw a yellow ball at the top of my left-hand side. Suddenly, the yellow ball exploded. I saw these prisms, and they were purple, green, and yellow. And the light was emanating through them. Suddenly, I saw the universe being created. Stars, planets.
I'm letting you go on, but I do want to point out that this entire story, you could have just said, I believe in God because I had a vision that there was a God.
Right? I know, I'm pretty interested in it.
Yeah, that's why I'm letting him go on. I just wanted, there's a much shorter way to convey this story.
Okay, well, I saw the
And the details of your vision, while fascinating, they're not going to persuade anyone but you.
Right, well, that's why I believe in God, and that's why I told you. See, what you don't have, Aria, is faith.
Right.
And that's what...
That's the common argument, that you have to believe in God in order to feel like there is a God, and that's... That
just feels like blind trust.
Yeah.
I
don't have to believe in my cell phone for it to be here. I can not believe it if I choose to not believe in it. I don't have to believe in this bottle. I don't have to believe in this pen. I don't have to believe in you, Joe, for you to exist.
Right.
Or to have evidence that you exist.
I don't like the way that faith is...
Because you don't have faith.
I don't like the way that faith is usually defined by people.
Okay.
Faith isn't trust that something exists. I have always really struggled with this because my middle name is Faith, and I always wanted to know what it really meant. I always wanted to know what a judgment really meant, and all these things that they take for granted in the Bible and in church. Like, they just say it and without really describing it. And I think now that faith is just, like, not closing yourself off to a possibility. Like,
faith is gullibility.
I think that it's to have blind faith is a different. It's the way it's always described, but blind faith is different than I'm open to a possibility. And if you don't have that at all, then you're closing yourself off to something. And that's what I think is more special about it than absolute trust that something is the way that somebody else told you it is. I think that opening your mind to possibilities that it doesn't have to have anything to do with God. Is a quality that is, I think, so beautiful in people, and most people don't have it. I'm not saying that Arya needs to have it in God, but like when I was a kid, I basically just treated everyone like I already knew everything about them. Everybody, you know, I'm basically better than everyone. And I met this person, one of my best friends that I met in eighth grade, and he would just simply ask me, whenever I was talking crap about other people or whatever, like, oh, I don't like her. He would just be like, you need to open your mind to the possibility that you would like her. Just little things like that all the time. And I think that is...
But that's what faith's all about. You learn things.
But that's not what faith is all about. I'm open to the possibility that there is a God, right? Being open to the possibility is not having faith. I've been a believer through most of my life, and I'm still open to the possibility, especially the existence of a deist God. I absolutely could believe in a God that some scientist out there that created this universe and devised all of these physical laws. I'm absolutely open to these possibilities.
Well, God isn't a scientist. He's an omnipotent being.
Yeah, see, that's where you lose me, man. That is pure insanity talking. Omnipotent means that God can do anything, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God could? Let me ask the damn question. Do you really believe that God could say, yes, that V8 that you're holding, Arya, I'm going to turn it into a chihuahua? Do you truly believe
that
God could do that?
Science backs that there is literally such thing as infinite.
With two fishes and five loaves of bread, Jesus is the one person who changed the world the most.
The thing about it is, no one is going to convince someone else of something based on the fact that a book says it. And I'm not trying to convince Arya of that either. I don't believe that in the Christian God. I just really don't like the idea of somebody telling somebody to murder other people being God, or somebody who ruined somebody else's flock of pigs being God and just not having any idea that property rights are a good thing. I just really don't like that idea. But faith...
Jesus didn't teach people to hurt anybody.
Well, Jesus was asked by some demons, can we go into the pigs instead of going to hell? And he said, yeah, sure. And the pigs went and ran off a cliff and destroyed an entire town's economy. And I don't like that.
She is correct. That story is in the Bible, Joe.
Right. They were possessed, and he, exorcised the demons from them.
And then the demons said, can we go into the pigs instead of going to hell? And he said, yeah, sure. Why would he do that? I think that's really something that a human would do. Maybe, I'm not saying he did it on purpose to be evil. He's probably didn't realize what was going to happen or something. But I mean, if this
is he all-knowing then?
But
if Jesus is God?
The people were possessed and Jesus saved their soul.
But I'm talking about ruining the pigs.
He killed a bunch of pigs in order to do it, though.
And not to say nothing about animal abuse.
Well, that
they
was
drowned.
God's wisdom.
What's wise about that? I mean, he could have just said, no, you're a demon.
Go to hell.
I don't doubt the word of Christ.
Well, that's the thing. That is not what faith is. You being like, I have no doubt in anything because it's written down in the Bible is not faith. Faith is, I'm going to look out into the world and find what is. I know that I have no way of saying, I could just take my life and say, there's no way to know what is, but I want to put into the work into finding out what is, and I believe that it's a possibility, so I'm going to keep looking. And it has nothing to do with the Bible, because if you look at it enough, you'll be like, okay, this is not what is, and let me continue. And I don't like the word faith being used as blind faith.
Yeah, the way you use faith, Joe, it really just reminds me of gullibility. It, from what you're telling me, faith is the ability to blindly believe what other human beings tell you.
Well, I'm not gullible, trust me. People called me a superior intellect.
Okay.
And I shouldn't believe in faith and stuff like that if I was that type of intellect. But I do. Jesus, like I said, he came onto this earth. He performed miracles. He changed this world more than anybody.
And that's what Christians say, certainly.
And Mao Zedong did. And like I said,
his followers have had an impact, sure. But, I mean, we can't even prove whether or not a person such as Jesus Christ ever actually existed. But you can't use the actions of Christians.
But
you can't use the actions of Christians, Joe, to prove the existence of their deity.
Everybody talks about Jesus.
What?
Everybody talks about Jesus. You can't prove he existed, but you're talking about him.
That doesn't mean he existed, right?
Well, no, but he... Well, there are stories about him.
We can talk about Harry Potter. That doesn't mean Harry Potter exists.
I don't know. I think that a person named Jesus did exist.
He's the same as the world.
Yeah, Harry Potter has had a profound impact on the world.
I just think that we missed Jesus' message, and it's honestly really sad.
Joe, thank you so much for the call tonight. I wish I could keep you around, but yeah, Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling had a profound influence on the world. A lot of people are better people for having read the Harry Potter books. If that makes Jesus real, then it also makes Harry Potter real. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.